So, in the interest of transparency, I'd like to tell you the purpose I have for my homily this evening. And it's simply this: I'd like to try and persuade you of how necessary it is that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Not just with Jesus. It's very common today to say, you can keep your organized religion, just give me Jesus. But now we also have, I don't want your organized religion, but I don't want Jesus either. And what I'd like to try to do is persuade all of us here of how we are suffering as a culture, a society, and a community as a result of that abandonment. Because it's wide scale, and it's happening on a large scale. I know I've mentioned this before to you, and it's borne out in the stats, in the studies, in the checks, and the balances. Now, to begin to do this, what I'd like to do is start with a quote. This is from Cardinal Francis George, who was the former Archbishop of Chicago. He died on April 17th, 2015, not too long ago. And in his last column within the Archdiocesan newspaper, he wrote this: I expect to die in bed. My successor will die in prison. And his successor will die a martyr in the public square. His successor will pick up the shards of a ruined society and slowly help rebuild civilization, as the church has done so often in human history. Now, the cardinal is testifying here to something that Jesus is talking about in today's gospel, and that is that in light of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the whole world in which you and I are living in right now is passing away. And we can't stop it. It's passing away. And that there are only two things that last: Jesus and His church. I mean, if you think about it, the church was around back at the time of the Roman Empire. Where's the Roman Empire? The church was around throughout the Soviet Empire. Where's the Soviet Empire today? Jesus said it in today's gospel: nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be wars and insurrections and fights and all this kind of stuff. And here we are, the church. We're still here. And the church will be there in the end as well. Now, for a lot of us, perhaps, you know, we think of the church as the big buildings in Rome and, you know, St. Peter's and all the beautiful architecture in Europe and the churches and everything like that. But, and that is the church. That is who we are. That's us. But that's not all we are. In Catholic theology, there's two words that are used to designate the church. One is societas, which literally translates as a society. The church is a society. And that's the visible dimension. It's got canon law to govern it. It's got a structure of a diocese like Fort Worth, with the structure of the parishes and the bishop and the chancery and all these things governing us visibly, and the hierarchy and authority and all this kind of thing. All that is visible. That's part of the church, and it's called societas in the Latin. But there's also communio, which is the inner spiritual reality of the church as holy communion. Now, that holy communion is indestructible. Jesus deposited it among us as the second son, as the son of the Trinity, the second person, when he was among us. The Eucharist makes the church. It makes holy communion. And this holy communion that is the spiritual, invisible dimension of the Catholic Church gives you and I, by belonging to it, a share in the eternal communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's everlasting life. So by our membership in Holy Communion, right here in history, in time, in the Catholic Church, by our participating in Holy Communion, we are given a share in the eternal communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can't give eternity. It's not ours. We die. God can, and in Christ, He has. By establishing among us His church. It's a bit like the Good Samaritan. He lifted this person left for dead on the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho, lifted him, brought him to the inn, deposited two coins, and said, "I'll give you more on my way back." That inn is the church. This is what Jesus has done. He has entrusted us to Holy Communion. Now, there's a lot of different ways to help us understand how much we need Jesus and His church today. But I'm going to try to go at this from the standpoint of our experience. And one of the things I'm betting most of us have had in our experience is something that I call feedback loops. We've all experienced feedback loops. One of the places you encounter feedback loops frequently is on social media. It's one of the things that keeps young people always wanting to tap in. They need the feedback. Who's in? Who's popular? If someone's being trashed, I don't want to associate that with them at school tomorrow because I'll be painted with the same brush and I won't be in the popular group, so I got to tap in. I got to tap in. That's a feedback loop. By my encounter with these people online, I'm getting feedback to myself that instructs me about who I got to hang out with, who I got to watch out for, maybe who am I going to bully tomorrow, depending on what's going on. That's a feedback loop. I encounter something outside of myself, and it's coming back to me with feedback. And that's what makes social media such a, almost like an addiction for some people. They got to keep checking in, who's out, am I out? Feedback. There's another very common type of feedback loop. There are so many that you could name. I mean, there's just so many ways. But this is a common one. We take it casually, and it's the feedback loop that is produced by a good number of men and women entering the bridal chamber outside of marriage. Now, this creates a feedback loop in the relationship of the couple that would go into the bridal chamber outside of marriage, that the next time they encounter one another, the feedback is coming back based on their prior experience in the bridal chamber, and there's momentum to repeat and return there that wouldn't have been there otherwise. This is, again, it's a feedback loop. I encounter that person, it triggers in me, the feedback loop comes back. Boy, this would be great. And sometimes they might even say, gee, I don't even know what got into me. I wasn't anticipating doing that, but it's this loop. It comes back. And see, the thing about these feedback loops, in that case, that's a feedback loop that is born of serious sin. And when you get into one of those types of feedback loops, you are powerless to get out. Now, the church has known this for hundreds of years. Once you get into a feedback loop born of sin, you're powerless to break out of it. So let's say, for example, we do have, let's say, a 19-year-old at a local college, goes to a college party, enters into the bridal chamber outside of marriage, and he doesn't know Christ, he has no interest in Christ or his church or nothing like that. He has now come into this feedback loop that the next time he encounters that young lady that he went into the bridal chamber with, it's going to trigger that loop again. And he's going to want to repeat. Or maybe it'll be with another person, another woman that he meets at the party, and it'll trigger the feedback loop. And I do it with her. And let's say eventually this 19-year-old goes on to get married, not knowing Christ, stuck in this feedback loop, gets to be 33, 34, meets another lady at work. The loop is there. And before you know it, he's drifting off into adultery. These are real possibilities, and they're happening today. Because once you get into a feedback loop born of sin, you're powerless to break out of it. And see, what's happening is, for the two of them, there's a feedback coming back. This is romantic, this is wonderful, this is beautiful. Well, in the meantime, two families are being destroyed. And there's destruction. And see, this isn't good. This isn't good. Because feedback loops born of sin enshrine us at the center of creation. And that is harming us today. Because there's only one who can break a feedback loop like that, and it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. He defeated sin and death on the cross. We don't have the power to free ourselves from that. And I mean, if you were to continue, let's say, down that feedback loop and just repeat and repeat and repeat, sometimes you can even get men and women who become addicted to sex, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol. They become so in bondage, it becomes even then destructive of them as well as other people around them. And people are starting to get hurt now. And see, this is what our culture loses apart from Christ, is the freedom to break out of that loop. And the way he does it is by bringing us into the Holy Communion of the Catholic Church. Because this Holy Communion, the horizons of it are opened out to the eternal and living God. It's so wide and huge, it's like standing in front of an ocean. This Holy Communion that is the Catholic Church. And you go into that looping, you don't make that conform to your loop. You either let that break you out and let you go free and put you into a bigger world, or you walk away and stay separated and apart from it and are outside the church. And that's what's happening today. We have a lot of men and women who don't want to forsake their loops. They want to stay confined within them. It's comfortable. And here's this Holy Communion with these horizons wide open to the eternal and living God reaching to the very heavens, incorporating the communion of saints in the heavens who have made it. We celebrated them November 1st. incorporating also our brothers and sisters who maybe didn't have full share in Holy Communion and are in need of being further purified, purgatory. And then you and I, we're in via, we're on the way. And it can be painful when our world gets broken open like that. It can be. Because the loop is being broken, and that can hurt. We can feel that. But see, Jesus said, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross by allowing this Holy Communion to break open those narrow horizons of the loops, you cannot be my disciple. And see, this is where Jesus, in the sacrament of Holy Confession, he's breaking loops and setting you free so that when you go out and you meet maybe some of the same people, you're no longer in bondage to loop with them. You've got a newfound freedom because you're participating in Holy Communion. This is why Catholics have to go to a priest for confession. There's no going to God directly. By your being reconciled to Holy Communion on earth through the priest, you have a share in the eternal communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what's happening when you go to confession. You're going to the innkeeper. He's reconciling you to the church. And through that participation, you have a share in the eternal communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't destroy that. The devil can't divide it. He can't disunite it. The world can't. It tries. I mean, we get persecuted. The church has gone through persecution. Sure, they've tried to destroy the church. We're still here because you can't destroy the Holy Communion. Maybe the Societas, sure, maybe one day, I don't know, St. Peter's could be blown up. I don't know. But you can't destroy the Holy Communion that is the Catholic Church because its root is the Trinity. And you can't divide Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The devil doesn't have the power. Our world doesn't have the power. You can't throw a hydrogen bomb at that and blow it up. You can't. It's impossible. And our sin won't do it either. The only thing you can do with that is be snatched away from it. And I think we've known some of our friends that have fallen away from that Holy Communion. They're not practicing their faith anymore. They're out of communion. And it's unfortunate. I have members of my own nieces and nephews. It's tough. That's all you can do. It's there. But all you can do is separate yourself from it. You can't destroy it because it's going to outlast us. And it's because of that, that Cardinal Francis George could say, I expect to die in bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr in the public square. His successor will pick up the shards of a ruined society and slowly help rebuild civilization, as the church has done so often in human history.